April 18th, 2013. Sorry for the delay, but we're just trying to tie the final strings together here. House Bill 2024, which expand the crime of assault to the third degree for people injuring patients and staff at the mental hospital is coming off. We're not going to hear that today. Senator Jackie Winters has found money in her in the budgets to pay for an additional deputy district attorney for Marion County to be able to prosecute those cases, and therefore this law is not needed. So that will be coming off. We've just talked about House Bill 2431 with the sponsor and with some attorneys, and it is believed that that would not work because the purpose was to be able to hold underage prostitutes long enough for the police to try to work with them to get them out of that lifestyle, and this bill would not work under this provision. They would not be able to hold the girls long enough, or boys long enough, to do the job. So we will not be hearing 2431 either today. Okay, we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2790.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2790 increases the violation class for using mobile communication device while driving from a D traffic violation to a traffic violation. It should say a potential $2,000. That would be the maximum fine, not the presumptive. And this bill, the SMS is incorrect where it says requires signage on all state highways. That's not correct.
Okay. Representative Tomei, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Carolyn Tomei, represent House District 41. In 2009, the Oregon legislature passed a ban on the use of handheld mobile phones while driving. Oregon is now one of 39 states that prohibit texting and driving, and these laws enjoy the support of a large majority of Americans. Unfortunately, texting and driving is still widespread. You often see drivers, of course, on I-5 especially, fumbling with their phones while cruising down the freeway at 70 miles an hour. You often see drivers glancing down at their phones in school zones with many children around. You often see people turning left or right, endangering pedestrians while looking at their phones. You also have the experience of watching nervously from the passenger seat as your own driver pulls out a cell phone and tries to type a message. And you would be right to be nervous. A National Highway Traffic Safety Administration study shows that drivers who use cell phones are four times more likely to have an accident that results in injury to themselves than drivers who do not. According to a University of Utah study, distraction from cell phone use extends a driver's reaction time as much as having a blood alcohol content of 0.08%, as if you're driving drunk. The issue is not that a driver's eyes are off the road, but also the driver's attention is off the road. It requires focus to carry on a conversation, and it requires even more to do it over the phone and certainly by texting, email. When a driver converses with a passenger, the passenger has another set of eyes on the road. But when someone is text messaging, there are no eyes on the road. The problem is clear, and we must take this problem seriously. The fine associated with this dangerous behavior must reflect the seriousness of the risks involved. This bill increases the presumptive fine for using a phone while driving from $110 to $435 to reflect the seriousness of the danger. Drivers have a responsibility to their passengers and others on the road around them to give their full and undivided attention to the road. We must demand that drivers do not recklessly endanger other Oregonians. I would call your attention also, we often hear about driving while drunk or under the influence of other drugs, and we know that this is just as dangerous as that. And those consequences for that behavior we take very seriously. This is just as dangerous, and we must also take this violation very seriously. And I have other people who are here to talk about this bill, and if you have any questions, I'll stay, but that you might want to address their questions to them.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. And I'll ask Tim Plummer, Troy Costellis, and Jonathan Manton, and we have a very large schedule today, so I'll ask you to please keep your remarks as brief as possible. Go ahead and any order, just identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tim Plummer. I'm a senior trooper with the Oregon State Police. The Oregon State Police has a primary responsibility for enhancing public safety through highway traffic enforcement and public education. We do this by enforcing the state laws on all of Oregon's transportation systems. We've identified a trend that over the last several years has increased in the motoring vehicle public, involving crashes with distracted driving with the use of mobile communication devices while driving. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, deaths and injuries associated with distracted driving is on the rise annually. 2011, they reported out over 3,300 people were killed in crashes involving distracted drivers compared to a little over 3,200 in 2010. Oregon's no exception to this. Over the three-year period of 2009 to 2011, nine drivers, it was reported, were involved in motor vehicle crashes where the causation was pointed to using a mobile communication device. The National Safety Council estimates that 24% of all motor vehicle crashes involve cell phone use. Findings from the research conducted by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, stated that the one function of cell phone use, text messaging, creates a risk 23 times worse than driving while not distracted. They determined by sending and receiving text messages, the driver's eyes were removed from the road for an average of 4.6 seconds. And at 55 miles an hour, that equates to driving the length of a football field with a blindfold on. The statistics are backed by the Center of Cognitive Brain Imaging. Through their MRI scans, their Department of Psychology research report determined that driving while using a cell phone reduces the amount of brain activity associated with driving by 37%. To understand the volume of wireless information that is used through electronic devices, the Wireless Association reported that in the month of 2011 in the USA, June 2011 in the USA, 196 billion text messages were sent or received in the US alone. That was up nearly 50% from the year 2009. To determine the severity of the problem, the Pew Research Institute conducted a survey of American teens. Approximately 40% of them reported that they had been in a car when the driver used a cell phone in a way that put themselves or others in danger. We've seen distracted driving. We understand the dangers of it. Since the enactment of 811-507, approximately 14,000 citations have been filed through the circuit courts of Oregon by law enforcement officers for this device. Current base fine is $110. Thank you for your attention to this detail, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Senator.
Chair Barker, Vice Chair Creed, members of the committee, my name is Troy Costales, Administrator of the Transportation Safety Division for the Oregon Department of Transportation. You have my written testimony. I'll just highlight two or three things in addition to Mr. Plummer, Trooper Plummer's testimony and Representative Tomei's testimony and introduction. When we have done a public opinion survey within the state of Oregon, individuals, when asked, over 70% of the individuals recognize that using a cell phone while driving and texting while driving is dangerous. Yet, quite a few of those same individuals also do that exact activity when behind the wheel. To add to the note relationship to citation issued, at DMV, when we look at the convictions that are coming from courts that then are posted to driving records related to the current law and current offense, in 2012, there were just short of 23,000 convictions entered into driving records related to cell phone use and texting. That's 70 convictions every day from the courts around the state related to this particular offense. That tells you where 70%+ of the citizenry believes that this is unsafe to do, yet there's that number of individuals that are being cited and either pleading guilty or convicted in a court of law. When the first cell phone law bill was put in place, the safety division and the department stepped up to do recognition of the dangers of cell phone use and texting and have a public outreach message with billboards or theater slides in order to remind individuals of that danger. And we've worked with various members of the legislature about some of the rest areas and put some signs up in those areas too for incoming individuals into the state when the law was first put in place. And we continue to do that because this is one of the elements of safe and courteous driving. I went out on the roads and streets with you and I when we were either behind the wheel, passenger, walking, biking, or cycling. This presents a danger to all of us if the eyes are away from the focus of operating the vehicle safely. With that, Mr. Chair, I'll wait for questions after the panel's done.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Jonathan Manton, here before you today on behalf of the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. We're a community of thousands of Oregonians from all across the state, the vast majority of which also own cars, so we're motorists and cyclists both. And our priority is looking out for the safety of all roadway users, especially the most vulnerable, cyclists and pedestrians. This distracted driving is a threat, and so we very much appreciate the leadership of Representative Tomei on this bill, very strongly support it, and hope that the increase in penalties will be significant enough to deter distracted driving, reduce crashes, and ultimately save lives. So thank you very much for your work today, and I will leave it at that.
Thank you, Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I recognize we're pressed for time, so I appreciate this. A question for anyone, but presumably perhaps Trooper Plummer. So my understanding is this bill would shift it from a moving violation D to A. Can you, forgive me, I don't know this area of law, can you tell me what kinds of other violations are in A? We're also skipping B and C, and I just want to get a sense of how proportionate this is relative to other violations in that category.
Representative Barton, Chair Barker, thank you for the question. Driving while suspended violation also falls into that same category. Open container will be up in there with the same kind of violation, so that it runs with those kind of careless driving.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what B is?
B is, we're looking at sometime, depending on the traffic control device, it could be a stop sign, we could do a lane change, uh-huh. Failing to drive within your own lane or maintain a lane.
Thank you for your testimony. I remember seeing experiments a half century ago where people, long before cell phones, in home they tried to get people not to answer the phone when it rang, and people just, when that phone's ringing, it's telling you to answer it. And we just have to think back to when they were just landlines, and so you're getting a call when you're driving, you just got to wait and check it later. People just, I know, have just a very difficult time doing that, but that's how sometimes they get started. And I just wanted to clear up one other thing. When we first talked about this, the Beaverton mayor told me on the red light cameras was showing you 90% people on the phone. He called back and said that that was off, that was just one little group of people, but overall 20% of the people are caught in the red light camera on their phone.
So thank you, Mr. Chair. Tim or Troy, you can, either one of you can share this with me. How are you going to determine somebody's texting? You're in a patrol car cruising down the freeway and you have somebody alongside of you. Tell me how you're going to do that.
Representative Olson, Chair Barker, that does pose a problem for us. We're pretty much at the same level that they are. One of the things that draws our attention to somebody who is distracted is we're behind them. The first thing we see them is they're either 10 miles an hour over the speed or they're 15 miles an hour under the speed. They're following too close. They are not driving in their own lane so much as to cross over multiple lanes on a multiple lane highway. Most of the time, if we're quick enough, we can get up next to them, and really, if they're holding it down in their lap, that's what we see. We see their head down, focused in their lap, and we can't actually see the device, unless you're in an SUV where you can actually are above them. While they're on the phone itself, most of the time, as we roll up next to them, you can see them drop the phone. And I've oftentimes wondered how many phones that I've been the cause of being broken or lost under a seat because of that. But it's a good question. It is difficult for us to tell when they are texting because we cannot see the device itself from the eye level where we're at.
But follow up. Is it a violation of law for me to drive down the road and watch a movie right now on this?
Representative Wolfer, Chair Barker, we were just having that conversation just a little while ago. Depends on the definition of what a television is, because there is a statute to prohibit you as the operator from operating a motor vehicle while watching a television. And a lot of these devices are sophisticated enough now that they do stream TV, as we would traditionally call it.
Representative, just curious, what's your interpretation of how this applies to the act of punching in a telephone number to call?
Vice Chair Garrett, Chair Barker, that is actually, by definition of the statute, my understanding is actually using the device while you're dialing.
The bill says it's okay to activate or deactivate a function of the device as long as you're using hands-free.
But correct.
If I'm driving down the road and typing in a phone number, it could look like I'm texting.
It is a very difficult piece of language that we generally, sir, let the court decide when we go to court.
Representative Cameron.
This recently came to my attention. Thank you, Mr. Chair. iPod, holding an iPod to dial music versus holding an iPhone to dial music. If Can you tell me what the difference would be and how it would apply to this law?
Representative Cameron, Chair Barker, thank you very much. I had the privilege to be around when this law was first crafted, and we had an extensive discussion about that and what the difference would be. It still constitutes distracted driving, but by the statute, if that's what they're doing, then it doesn't meet the statutory definition. I hope that answered your question well enough.
Just please follow up on me. So iPod would not meet this statutory, this language. It could get distracted driving, but an iPhone, when if a constituent was actually trying to find music and load their music through their system, could that be picked up as using a mobile communications device? Or is
Representative Cameron and Chair Barker, it could be seen as that from somebody looking from outside the vehicle in.
So, follow up with me. So if I was cited for that, obviously then the phone becomes the timing on the phone and the communications on the phone just showing that it was a music, there was no phone communications or texting during that time would be the evidence to prove my innocence?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I just would say California just had a case that went on up to their appellate court where somebody was doing the maps. And so they said, well, I wasn't using my phone for phoning. I was using it as a GPS device. And the court's down there said, you're using your phone. Guilty. So this will probably work its way, these cases.
Wow. I just have one quick question. The motor vehicle accident report that's submitted by law enforcement to you, you capture a lot of the data on there on what the causation is. So I would imagine that you do that with these as well when you determine what the causation is of the crash. Rather than going the direction that we're trying to do with this bill right now, why not apply it toward determining the fine as an enhancement if, in fact, you determined that it was a cause of the crash?
Representative Olson, Chair Barker, that would be an option to explore.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate your testimony. We have a nearly identical bill coming from the Senate side, and we will not work this today because that bill will be reversed. So thank you very much for your testimony. It's important here. Open a work session on House Bill 2019.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2019 creates the crime of patronizing a traffic child where a person offers or agrees to engage in a commercial sex act with a minor or with a law enforcement officer posing as a minor. The prior is punishable as a Class B felony level 9 on crime seriousness. The latter would be a Class C felony level 7 on crime seriousness. Makes prior convictions for prostitution count as half-person crimes when calculating criminal history score. Modifies crime of trafficking in persons by creating different felony classifications for benefiting financially from trafficking and knowing that another person will be subjected to involuntary servitude, which would be a Class B felony, and knowing that a person will be coerced into commercial sex acts by force or fraud and disregarding the fact that the trafficked person is a minor is a Class A felony. Includes these crimes under the rape shield laws for evidentiary purposes. Allows application by DA for use of technology to intercept wire, oral, or electronic communication in the investigation of these crimes. Allows victims of these crimes to apply to the court for restitution awards and to the Criminal Victims Compensation Fund for covering of certain related expenses. Includes these crimes under definition of crimes covered by racketeering statute. Includes these crimes in definition of sex crimes, making these registrable offenses. Adds these crimes to the definition of sexual exploitation. Declares an emergency in effect upon passage. There are no amendments. We do have the fiscal back on this. It is an indeterminate fiscal, but there is a subsequent to Ways and Means.
And as we covered this before in our public hearing, and I think there's agreement that this is a serious crime. That 17, the juvenile, primarily girls, are getting pulled into this. Life is not what any of them would really have liked to have got into, and it's difficult to get out. And it's the Johns that are keeping them there. So, please.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 2019 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 2019 to the floor with a due pass, subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Is there any question? Is there any discussion? Are there any questions? question.
I just have one comment for the record, actually, which, you know, I want to thank Representative Tomei for bringing this bill. And in 2011, she brought a bill that increased civil penalties for these same crimes. And I'm hoping that this committee will get the data from the 2011 crimes to see whether or not what kind of impact those civil penalties have. And to see if we can fine-tune this to make sure we can get more at the issue. And so I just want to publicly thank Representative Tomei for all her work on this.
Thank you. She's been working on it for mm-hmm. more than just two sessions.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Since she got here.
Yeah. Hearing no objections?
Good job.
So ordered. Okay. Next item, we'll open a work session on House Bill 2204.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2204 adds oxycodone, hydrocodone, and methadone in unspecified quantities to delivery and manufacture statute at a crime seriousness of level 6 or 8, depending on quantity, as well as the commercial drug offense rules, adds oxycodone to definition of controlled substances, adds oxycodone to mandatory sentence where a person dies or suffers serious physical injury from ingestion after delivery, declares an emergency effective upon passage. There is a -2 amendment. The -2 amendment, the original bill, if you recall, didn't have the pills count broken out. The -2 amendment cleaned up some language and has the specific pills broken out. And we have the fiscal back on that. It is a minimal expenditure, but this does have a subsequent to Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the -2 amendments into House Bill 2204.
President Krieg moves the -2 amendments into House Bill 2204. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 2204 as amended to the floor of the due pass, and there be a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 2204 as amended to the floor of the due pass, subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Open a work session on House Bill 2384.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2384 allows seizure of motor vehicle where a person is being cited or arrested for violation, driving while suspended, misdemeanor or felony, driving while suspended, aggravated driving while suspended. We're looking at the -6 amendment right now, and the -6 amendment would actually take out the violation driving while suspended people and just leave in the misdemeanor or felony driving while suspended or aggravated driving while suspended. It also gives jurisdictions the option whether or not they want to implement this, so they can choose to opt in and use this or not as they see fit.
Chair?
Yes?
Has this resolved the issue that came up with regard to rental cars?
Mr. Garrett, we believe that that's covered under the forfeiture statutes already, and I spoke with Mr. Gardner. He has some questions, and we told him we'd keep a close eye on it. We believe that they are covered under it.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Martin.
Mr. Chair, this bill, 2384, is a flawed and imperfect bill. But it's trying to address a surprisingly nasty problem. It's harder to solve than one would think. I've taken a crack at it in the past myself, and this is several people have over the years. This is the best that we've yet come up with, I think. Even still, it might not be ready to go. I'm happy to help it along in the process. But
were you involved in this?
Maybe? No, I was not, which is why it's so good. Yeah.
That's where I was going.
Yeah. Beat you to it.
And this does have a sunset on it, so that it will be able to take a look at it.
Okay. Hey, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the -6 amendments in House Bill 2384.
Representative Krieger moves the -6 amendments in House Bill 2384. Are any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
No referral. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 2384 as amended to the floor with the due pass.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 24 as amended to the floor with the due pass. Any discussion? Any objections?
I just want to say, Mr. Chair, I'm going to be a no on this. And for the record, it's because I'm concerned about putting criminal-like issues into a civil forfeiture statute. I don't think there are sufficient protections in the civil side of this. So.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Hicks?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Tomei?
No.
Representative Williamson?
No.
Vice Chair
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Chair Barker.
Aye. We'll ask Representative Thatcher to carry this bill. Open a work session on House Bill 2549.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2549 creates a three-tier system for ranking sex offenders based on their risk as is established by the designated risk assessment tool. It requires all offenders in the current system to be reclassified. Offenders classified in the first tier are eligible for relief from reporting obligations 5 years at the end of their supervision. Offenders classified in the second tier are eligible to apply to be with the dash five amendments moved to tier one after 10 years and then off of registration obligations after the five more years. Offenders classified in the third year tier are eligible to apply to be moved into tier two after 10 years after their supervision has ended. Tier three offenders are not eligible to apply for total relief from reporting obligations. With the dash six, you'll recall we had originally three amendments. There was a dash one, a dash two, and a dash three. The dash two was the essentially what it's been called, the district attorney version, which had the big five crimes that you, if committed one of those, you would not be eligible to get off of sex offender registration. The dash five amendment has incorporated that into what is essentially the dash one amendments. The other thing that the dash five amendment takes from the dash two is the victim's rights notifications piece, which goes into the dash one.
Thank you. And just for the record, they're a bit of informing there's a slight, they believe to be a slight problem. I think we'll go ahead and send it on down to Ways and Means and be sure we have it fixed before it comes out of there. But today, since today's the last day, I don't want this bill to die.
The dash two.
See?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the dash five amendments in House Bill 2549.
Representative Krieger moves the dash fives in House Bill 2549. Is there any objection?
No. So, could you explain to you what you just told me?
Yeah. So, the dash five amendments incorporated the victim's language that was in the dash two amendments. The victim's language that was in the dash two amendments said that victims could be present at critical stages and defined hearings where someone could be relieved from sex offender registration is one of those critical stages.
Okay.
So that from the dash twos was moved into this dash five.
We're now
that we're now voting on.
Thank you for
and Mr. Chair, and Mr. Chair, you said there was a slight problem still that needed to be worked out. Would you or council mind explaining that?
Joel Shapiro, do you don't?
Well, I know that there is a one slight problem. I was contacted by Jay Scroggins about just making sure that we're clear on when a hearing is necessary, okay, like a full-blown hearing with counsel and everybody coming, versus just a reclassification where you would apply to be reclassified. So right now, the dash five requires a hearing, which would have a big fiscal impact.
Mm-hmm.
But the intent of the dash five was not to require a hearing at that reclassification piece, only at the piece where you would actually be getting off of sex offender registration.
So, and I recognize a procedural substantive distinction is sometimes unreal, but I gather that the changes that still need to be made are largely procedural, but substantively the bill is in place. Is that right?
Correct.
That's okay. Correct,
Mr. Chair.
Okay,
sorry, Mr. Chair, if you may indulge me again, thank you.
Yeah.
Speaking of the hearing, so did we ever resolve what the standard was going to be at the hearing? Is that included in the bill anywhere?
It is included in the bill. It's clear and convincing evidence by the parole board.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And one more, if
sure.
I may. So the dash fives do include the five non-relievable crimes, correct?
Yes.
That's correct.
Sure.
Thank you.
We have a motion to move the dash fives in. Is there any objection?
Support. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 2549 as amended to the floor with a due pass, and there be a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 2549 as amended to the floor with a due pass, subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Is there any further discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Open a work session on House Bill 2594.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2594 modifies the standard for civil commitment of persons with mental illness. It conforms language across all the statutes to person with mental illness rather than mentally ill person. There's a dash two amendment on this bill right now that has changed the bill to the point where right now, essentially, it sets up an outpatient assisted treatment process. So if you do not meet the criteria for inpatient commitment, which is requires that eminent standard of danger to self, danger to others, or basic needs, but you are deteriorating to a point where you will meet that standard in the future, the court can take jurisdiction over you in this outpatient assisted treatment process, and they would order you to engage in treatment. There is services that are attached to that that the court could order that you would attend to. So that's what the dash 2 amendment does in this bill.
Okay, and I just also want to make it clear that there is this no way could a patient be compelled to take medication, and there is no jail involved in this if somebody isn't complying.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. So, and obviously, it's, in the whole country, we're very lacking in our mental health.
That's right.
Programs, and hopefully this is a step in the right direction to try to help somebody. The intent isn't here is not certainly not to punish anybody or put them to make them look out of sorts of any kind. This is to, we want to help people get them healthy again.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the dash 2s into House Bill 2594.
Representative Krieger moves the dash 2s in House Bill 2594. Objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 2594 as amended to the floor with a due pass and to be a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 2594 as amended to the floor with a due pass subsequent to Ways and Means. Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. I want to thank Mr. Jundip for helping us to get that modified to where
this is a good start.
Making a good start. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. And Representative Hicks for all your work on that. Open a work session on House Bill 3434.
Oh, it is. Sorry, that's me. No, that's me.
3434.
House Bill 3434 clearly defines 1,000 feet to be a radius from any point on the boundary of elementary school, secondary school, career school, or child care facility. There are no amendments to this bill.
All this did was clarify how you measure. Representative Esquivel had a case where somebody used a not a straight line to determine where 1,000 feet was and made it long, much farther than a straight line. This makes it clarifies what the state law is, and it's 1,000 feet from that location. Straight line, 1,000 feet.
And there's a minimal fiscal and no revenue.
And Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 3434 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 3434 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. We'll ask Representative Esquivel to carry that bill for us. Open a work session on House Bill 3467.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3467 prevents law enforcement agencies from publishing photographic records of arrested persons on internet, requires any request for those photographic records to be made in person and be accompanied by a fee. There's a dash 3 amendment to this right now that would prevent websites that are operating to from charging people a fee to remove their mugshots from the website. They'd have to do that.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the dash 3 amendments into House Bill 3467.
Representative Krieger moves the dash 3 amendments into 3467. Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered.
Whose bill was that?
Where is
this?
Yeah, she will.
She's excited.
I want to get your mugshot off the website.
Just the one. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 3467 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 3467 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. And Representative Williamson, would you please carry that for us? Thank you.
I look like I'm done.
Okay. Good job.
Do we have an evening session? We're not going to meet
tonight.
So go go back on the schedule for me. We're trying to
do it.
Yeah, I do. I'm waiting.
We'll open a work session on House Bill 2607. Did you want to sit over here, Mr. Cater, or do you want to?
Chair, members of the committee, I can keep a good eye on things from here, too.
Great.
Chair, members of the committee, yesterday we adopted the Dash 5 amendments. This is the issue of credit for time served. Basically, under the amendments, we give credit for time served if it's the same criminal episode or if the person has uninterrupted time in jail prior to going to court, prior to going to the Department of Corrections. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we do not have the fiscal impact statement as we speak. I have talked to the Judicial Department. Their impact is minimal. I have talked to the Department of Corrections, and this saves money. We have another problem right now, and that is the PISRIS system is down. So if you would like to move the bill, you'd have to suspend the rules to move the bill.
That's this one here.
We've adopted it.
So I'm trying to figure out this. Do we need to move it? Mr. Chair, I move that the rule be suspended for the purpose of moving House Bill 2607 without its fiscal impact statement on hand at the time. Representative Krieger moves the rule be suspended for the purpose of taking action on House Bill 2607 without having the fiscal impact revenue statements on hand at this time. The motion is undebatable. Those of the opinion, the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on House Bill 2607 without having the fiscal impact and revenue statements on hand at this time will say aye. Those opposed, no.
Aye.
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 Okay, thank you. Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, the alternative is to come back tonight. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Rules have been suspended.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 2607 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 2607 to the floor with a due pass. Is there any discussion? The only discussion I would say is that this should actually save the money. So,
Mr. Chair,
yeah.
I eagerly await the savings calculation on this, too. So this is a very sensible change to policy.
Thank you. Any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Motion carries. I'll carry the bill.
Okay.
Open a work session on House Bill 2920.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2920 comes to you from Representative Tomei. It allows the Department of Human Services to give the required notice to an individual that DHS has requested the individual's criminal record from the state police before or after the information is obtained from the state police. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, there are no amendments. And we actually have all the paperwork, and it's no fiscal impact.
Wow.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 2920 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 2920 to the floor with a due pass. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Can I carry that?
Motion carries, and you certainly may. Open a work session, House Bill 3183.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3183 comes to you from the Committee on Judiciary. It requires the sheriff of a county to deliver a juvenile convicted of a crime in adult court or adjudicated delinquent and sentenced to the custody of the Department of Corrections to the custody of the Oregon Youth Authority. You have the Dash 3 amendments in front of you, which allows the sheriff, by agreement with the Oregon Department of Corrections, to deliver the youth offender directly to the Oregon Youth Authority. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we do not have the paperwork on this bill. What I can tell you is that the Dash 2 amendments, which are very similar to what this bill is, this actually requires an agreement where that said they would go there, had no fiscal, so there shouldn't be a problem on the fiscal.
This bill has a subsequent Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, but we've had that removed
okay.
by the Speaker.
Let's suspend the rules and get it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
think we'd suspend rules on that one. Which one are you using? Use this 3183. Yes, Mr. Blair, Representative.
Be clear. The summary says requires, but we did have a discussion and read the bill that it doesn't require it.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the DASH 3 amendments do not require it.
Right.
It is by contract. I think the original bill did.
Okay. It's permissive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mr. Chair, I move that the rules be suspended for House Bill... Where are we at? 3183, taking action on the bill without having a fiscal impact or revenue impact statement on hand at this time.
Representative Krieger moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on House Bill 3183 without having the fiscal impact and revenue statement impact statements on hand at this time. Motion is not debatable. Those of the opinion the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on House Bill 3183 without having the fiscal impact and revenue statements on hand this time will say aye.
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 Those opposed, no. Motion carries.
And do we have the DASH 3 in it?
Yeah. The DASH 3s are not in it yet, or?
You adopted them according to our records.
So I have amended them.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 3183 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 3183 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Is there any objection? Okay.
Time out
for a second. Chair, members of the committee, just to be clear,
DASH 3?
Yeah.
They could not be adopted at the last meeting because they weren't here at the last meeting.
They were so, here on the 17th.
Well, okay. We'll back up and we'll go ahead and...
We might as well adopt them.
We're going to put the DASH 3 in.
Okay, I'll withdraw the last motion and I'll go to... Mr. Chair, I'd like to move that the DASH 3 amendments be put into House Bill 3183.
Let's be sure they're in there. So Representative Krieger moves the DASH 3s into House Bill 3183. Is there any discussion? Any objection?
Did we vote? Did you already move the bill? Do you have to reconsider your
No, vote? We didn't. No. We got some. We did not move the bill. DASH 3s are in.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 3183 as amended to the floor with the due pass.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 3183 as amended to the floor with the due pass. Is there any objection? No discussion. Something's funny. Okay. Let's see. Who would like to carry that bill?
I'd be happy to.
Representative Barton. Okay, next bill. We're open a work session on House Bill 3327.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3327 authorizes the court to set aside conviction of a sex crime listed in ORS 181830-1A if a person has been relieved of the obligation to register as a sex offender and they have not been convicted of an otherwise non-eligible crime. There is a DASH 2 amendment that considerably narrows the parameters of who it is that is eligible to get these crimes expunged. We also have the drafter from LC is available if anyone has questions about the amendments or what the bill does.
Committee, if you'll recall, this is the so-called Romeo and Juliet kind of cases where there is absolutely no force, no compulsion or anything. If those crimes come under anything other than completely consensual, they would not be covered under this law. That makes sense.
Representative Barker, I'd like to thank the Speaker's staff who have been around to most of our offices making sure we understood what we were doing. And it makes this bill something we can all go along with, I believe.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the DASH 2 amendments into House Bill 3327.
Representative Krieger moves the DASH 2 amendments into House Bill 3327. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 3327 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 3327 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton?
No.
Representative Cameron?
Aye.
Representative Hicks?
Aye.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Tomei?
Aye.
Representative Williamson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Garrett?
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye, and I'd like to have Representative Harker and Kotek as co-carriers on that. Speaker Kotek as co-carriers on that bill. Open a work session on House Bill 3478.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3478, we heard on Friday, it's the bill that allows child abuse claims against public bodies. It changed the statute of limitations and the tort claim notice and revived causes of action that had been dismissed. We have a dash two amendment from Representative Barton that takes out all of that from the bill except the tort claim notice changes. We also have a dash one amendment that exempts negligence actions arising out of health care. They retain the tort claim notice requirements. We do not have the fiscal impact statement back on this bill. If you choose to move it, you'll have to suspend the rules. And we have also been asked to add a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
We just received a dash four amendment, Mr. Chair, and I don't know what it is. But Representative Parrish is here.
We just got a new amendment.
Well, I'm going to stop and go into recess for a few minutes. call us back to order. We're talking about House Bill 3478. Representative Barton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the original bill, I'm going to explain, remind you guys what the original bill does, then I'm going to talk about what my proposed amendment does, which is the dash two. The dash one is a technical amendment that is complementary from OHSU. You remember they had technical. So the original bill had three parts. Number one, it extended the statute of limitations for sexual abuse of a minor against government bodies. It extended it to mirror what it is against private entities. Number two, it had a revival clause, i.e. claims that have previously been time-barred under the old statute were suddenly revived if they fell within the new statute. Those two things in particular had a significant fiscal, and you might recall there was a lot of consternation from public employers. There was also a third part to that, which is the tort claims notice. Currently, if you're going to sue a public entity, you have to provide essentially just a letter saying, I intend to sue you because of X, Y, and Z. You have to send that within 180 days. We already, in statute, the legislature has already waived it, I believe, to certain juvenile sex crimes who I think if the child is within OYA or DHS custody, I think, it's off the top of my head. It was very clear to me that the votes simply weren't there. I would like the original bill. I feel pretty strongly about this issue. I intend to keep fighting for something like the original bill in future sessions. Recognizing that I was going to lose this one, I worked with the Governor's Council. We've to adopt a dash two. That essentially eliminates both the revival clause. It eliminates the section amending the statute of limitations. It does keep in the part waiving tort claims notice for sex abuse claims only. And so I think it's a pretty modest one. I can't imagine it'll have any fiscal impact, certainly not a determinant fiscal impact. And I understand there are other amendments afoot. I can't speak to those, but that's where I am at. It's a modest step forward. I really would prefer to go further, but okay. Legislation is the art of the possible, I know.
Okay, thank you. The dash one's
in. Yeah. Yeah, two's in. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the dash one amendments into House Bill 3478.
Representative Krieger moves the dash one amendments in House Bill 3174. Is it? 378, I'm sorry, 3478. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, so ordered. Mr. Chair, I'd like to move to adopt the dash two amendments to House Bill 3478. Is there any, Representative Krieger moves the dash two is in. Is there any discussion on that?
Well, just Mr. Chair, I mean, the bill doesn't really do anything now. So that's my point. I'm probably not going to support moving the amendments in for that reason.
Okay.
The bill doesn't really do anything now, in my opinion. That's my take on it. So
yeah,
he's got a point.
I have a question, Mr. Chair. So it leaves the statute of limitations where it is today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't bring it current with the public sector, a private sector employee.
Yes, that's correct.
Mr. Chair, for what it's worth, it is something. I.e. the tort claims notice waiving that. It is a minor step. It is it's a long way from where I'd like to go. It's a shadow of the original bill, I have to admit. So I wouldn't say it does nothing, but I would say it doesn't do that much, which is why I'm somewhat bemused by the allegations of enormous fiscal impact. But.
Mr. Chair, I am supportive of the original bill.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, do we have the dash two amendment? I can't seem to find it.
That's my copy.
We should have it. Mr. Chair,
The dash two amendments were out on OLIS, and I believe they're on the desk as well.
Yeah.
They should be. They're one to one page. They might be right. Hard to find.
It is. It's in your packet towards the back.
The dash two and the dash one are one page amendments.
They're almost clear to the end. There's only a few sheets behind.
I've got dash two here.
Could you pass it down, please? Thank you.
Then three, sir.
Okay, just gave it to her.
No, then we're fine on the amendments.
Well, we want to track that here. So we have a motion to put the dash twos in. Call the roll, please.
Representative Barton?
Aye.
Representative Cameron?
No.
Representative Hicks? Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Tomei?
Aye.
Representative Williamson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Garrick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Chair Barker?
Aye. Dash twos are in.
Mr. Chair, I move that the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on House Bill 3478 with having a fiscal revenue impact statement on hand at the time.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 3478, move the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action without having the fiscal impact and revenue statements on hand at this time. So ordered. Those of the opinion the rules should be suspended for the purpose of taking action on House Bill 3478 without having the fiscal impact revenue statements on hand at this time will say aye.
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 Those opposed, no.
Mr. Chair, before we, I vote at least. So will it go to Ways and Means?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Aye.
Carries.
Okay, there you go.
Ready to go.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 3478, as amended, move to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a request for the referral to Committee on Ways and Means be added, and the bill be referred to Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 3478, as amended, to the floor with a due pass recommendation, requests that a referral to Ways and Means be added, and that the bill be referred to Committee on Ways and Means. Is there any discussion?
Chair?
Yes.
I just want to note, if it comes in with a fiscal, and for those of you on Ways and Means, essentially what that will be is it will be agencies or public employers arguing that we're going to have a determinate fiscal impact because we are going to have a determinate number of sex abusers in the future that are abused children, to which we are at least partially negligent, and as a result, and the moreover that they may or may not be barred by the tort claims notice. Anyway, I just want to be clear that that's what the argument would be if this has a fiscal. I respectfully recommend that the Ways and Means Committee look at that kind of argument with a raised eyebrow, to say the least.
Thank you. Anybody, any further discussion? Are there any objections to the bill? Seeing none, the bill passes, and and we will go on recess until 2:30. Hey, guys. Committee, come back to order.
They got quiet fast.
We're going to a work session on House Bill 3480.
Chair, members of the committee, this bill renames the crime of intimidation to bias crime and also allows the Attorney General to maintain a civil cause of action.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on House Bill 3480 and send it to the Rules Committee.
Representative Krieger moves that we suspend the rules on House Bill 3480, for the purpose of taking action, moving to the Rules Committee. Is there any objection? The rules are suspended.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 3480 be sent to the Rules Committee.
Representative Krieger moves House Bill 3480 to the Rules Committee. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Any further discussion on anything? Adjourned.
It went away?
It just died.
It was permanent. Wanted to do that quick.